This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 77.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, found online at marathontrainingacademy.com. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the 2013 New Orleans Rock and Roll Marathon and look into the competitor group Incorporated, the parent company of the Rock and Roll Series. Plus, I talk about running a sub-4-hour marathon, and in this episode's quick tip, Angie will tell you how to deal with post-marathon soreness. And to train for your first marathon or half marathon using our proven system, become a member of the Academy by visiting marathontrainingacademy.com. Well, Angie, I think I mentioned to you before we started recording that it's amazing to think that just yesterday we were in New Orleans and now we're back home sitting at our desk here. And seems like kind of a dream, doesn't it?
It did go by fast, yes. It is always kind of weird to be back in your routine after running a marathon and, you know, sometimes like, wow, did that even happen? Did we even do that?
We ran the marathon 2 days ago, so yesterday we just spent all day in the car pretty much, long marathon drive. But, you know, it was a great weekend, and it's our second time going down to the great city of New Orleans, and I felt like I knew what I was doing this time. I kind of had the layout of the city down a little more and was more comfortable finding my way around. And
we had the handy GPS.
Yeah, we had a GPS this time. You were a lot less nervous because you weren't trying to PR or anything, so seems like everybody just really enjoyed the trip. Our kids and your mom and everybody who went.
Yeah, it was a great time.
So we want to tell you all about our experience at the 2013 Rock and Roll Marathon in New Orleans. And we'll talk about a couple other good things on this episode. And now we are looking at signing up for a marathon in Kansas. Angie's still checking off the states on her list.
Slowly but surely.
You've run 13 marathons total and like 11 different states, right?
Nine different states.
Nine different states, okay.
But Kansas would be 10, so.
So what marathon are you looking at in Kansas?
I don't know. I don't know the name of it. Okay, it's in Olathe, Kansas, and I believe it's the Garmin Marathon. That's actually where the Garmin headquarters are.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, it's not like a huge marathon. Obviously, there's probably not as much to do down there as there is in New Orleans, but it looks like a really good, solid race. And, of course, I must have another race in the calendar to be completely happy, besides the one in July that we have.
Yeah, we mentioned on the last episode that we are signed up for the Missoula Marathon in Missoula, Montana, on July 14th. We've heard from a couple people who are going to be there, and maybe we'll be able to meet up with some of you if you're going to be at that race in Angie's old home state of Montana.
Yay!
Montana has such a small population that Angie practically knows everybody up there.
It's right.
Like one big family.
No, I have a pretty small circle, but
she's from Lewistown, and people from Lewistown, they don't get out of Lewistown very often. They're kind of isolationist.
Speak for yourself.
Well, have you got any good encouraging messages from people lately?
Of course I have.
Let's hear it.
All right. This one says, "Hi there from Zambia, Africa. I'm a Peace Corps volunteer here living and working in the bush, and I love every minute of it. It's also one of the most spectacular places in the world to go running. I was an amateur runner in the States and wanted to challenge myself by signing up for the Victoria Falls Half Marathon last August. I immediately researched some motivational running podcasts, and MTA was the first to pop up. I downloaded your podcast as fast as I could and never looked back. Unfortunately, about halfway through my training, my knee completely gave out, and I was forced to hang up my running shoes until it was marathon time. Come race day, I was scared to even show my face, but as soon as I put my headphones on and started blasting MTA on repeat, I was ready to rock and roll, and I did that all the way to the finish line. I'm back at it now and running my little heart out as much as possible. Thank you, MTA. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. And now we have a little MTA family in the northern province, so we wanted to give you a huge Africa shout-out. You guys are awesome. Run on," and that comes from Buck, which is a she.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Well, thank you for that nice email all the way from Zambia and the Victoria Falls Marathon. That sounds like a nice one, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds beautiful.
I'm glad that you were able to overcome that injury and get back and accomplish your goal.
That's right. Maybe next year you'll be able to do the full marathon there in Victoria Falls. Who knows? This next message comes from Kevin, and he says, after 25 years of smoking 2 packs a day and being mildly obese most of my life, at the age of 44, I have now signed up for my first marathon. It all started last year shortly after the new year. After another broken resolution of promising myself I would get into shape, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. On January 11th, 2012, I decided a change had to be made. Over the last year, I've put miles and miles in my running shoes and 2,000 miles in my bicycle and decided it was time to sign up for a marathon. I am now entered in the Glass City Marathon and am nervous and excited all at the same time. If this works out for me, I may even eyeball an Ironman. Anyway, I listen to your podcasts all the time, and I love hearing all the inspiring stories. I also like the race recaps. Hopefully we get to hear about Trevor's next marathon soon. And I read that shout out because you're getting your wish, Kevin.
Today is your lucky day.
Oh, yeah.
This is both a race recap and a race that I happen to run. But that's awesome, going from smoking 2 packs a day to making some awesome changes in his health and signed up for a marathon, and sounds like he's good to go. Let's take it with it, man.
That's right. I think you'll have a great experience, and it will definitely be the start of many positive changes in your life.
Well, thank you, Buck and Kevin, for sending us those emails, and it's good to hear from all of you out there who are taking action, and just want to encourage you to stick with your marathon training, even though it is difficult. It will pay off. It is worth it. Trust me. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. This is the second time we've gone down to New Orleans. It's about a 9-hour drive from where we live here in southeast Missouri. Just like straight down Interstate 55 pretty much. You only have to turn 3 times to get to the hotel from our house. And we took the whole family again. Our kids, they had a wonderful time hanging out at the hotel, swimming in the pool, and getting out with us to see the city and going out to eat. Even though New Orleans is known for its awesome food, our kids reliably order the same thing every restaurant, cheeseburgers and fries.
It's so sad.
So we're at this nice restaurant in the French Quarter. This is after the race. And we are just getting ready to feast, you know, and I ordered crawfish etouffee and jambalaya and all this good stuff. And you had a po' boy sandwich, right? And our kids get cheeseburgers.
Hey, they did try some alligator bites.
Yes.
Didn't they?
I think at least Riley had one or two of those.
And Liam, I mean, he's 2 and he was just snarfing down anything we put in front of him. Like crab cakes. Oh, yeah, he was putting them away.
Yeah, he's not a picky eater. Well, we were able to take Angie's mom with us this time, and she watched the kids while we ran the marathon. So we just want to give a big thank you to Angie's mom, Dolores Danzer. She lives close to us and is a big help with babysitting our kids and allowing us to do these races.
Yeah, probably most of our races wouldn't happen if it weren't for her. So we are very thankful for her part in our lives.
I don't even think she'll even hear this episode, but thanks anyway. She does listen once in a while.
Most of our families listened at least one episode.
Yeah. I think my mom hears every episode reliably, so thank you, Mom, for that if you're out there. So anyway, how about you, Angie? Did you have a great time or what? Was it worth the money?
Yes. Thank you, MTA, for footing the bill.
Yes.
Yeah, I really had a good time. I felt a lot more relaxed, I guess probably because I didn't have any high personal aspirations for a finishing time. There wasn't as many nerves as far as a lot of the newness is concerned. Mm-hmm. And we got to stay at the very comfortable Drury Hotel.
Yep.
Which is very beautiful, right in the business district in New Orleans. And it just happened that the hotel was 2 blocks, seriously, from the starting line.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then the race started right in front of the hotel. So it couldn't have been more convenient. It was great.
Yeah, and you probably heard us talk about the Drury Hotel company. They are a sponsor of this podcast. So if you need a good hotel to stay at in the South or Midwest, definitely check out the Drury. I've never been disappointed at any of their locations. They're always just really clean and comfortable, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. And the staff is friendly and goes out of their way to help you, and wonderful breakfast and, you know, evening food. It's just really, our kids look forward to it. Plus, of course, the pool. They get to love to go swimming.
Yeah. Not every location has a pool, but this one certainly did. And it was like a rooftop pool. So like at the 10th floor, there's a pool and hot tub. And usually it was cold enough that people weren't out there. And no one was crazy enough to get in the pool except our kids.
Fortunately, because one time you took our kids up there, Gavin ended up throwing up hot dog in the pool. So glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, well, I got it out of there. So Eric, if you're listening to this, I just want you to know we did clean it up. Eric is our friend at the jewelry company, so the pool is actually heated, but of course it's not as warm as the hot tub, and it wasn't warm enough for adults to want to get in, but our kids, I don't care at all, they just get right in. But yeah, they had a good time.
We also got to meet your cousin who lives down there for breakfast on Saturday morning. She's a teacher in the city.
Yes, she is. My cousin Lauren works as a teacher, like Angie said, down there, and has local knowledge. So we met up with her, and she took us to this breakfast joint that was really, really good, kind of always busy, but we managed to get a seat in there and have some pecan waffles.
Well, that's what I ordered. And then you saw how good it was that you had to order that as well as what you had ordered.
Yeah.
Sometimes my senses for food are better than yours, you have to admit.
You know, I was sick before going down there.
We both were fighting sickness, actually.
So I was being really careful about not eating anything too sweet or sugary. And thankfully, I was able to recover and feel pretty good by the time Sunday rolled around and I had to run.
Yes, that was wonderful.
So we went to the Race Expo at the New Orleans Convention Center. And the Rock and Roll Series always does these huge expos with all kinds of vendors and whatnot. Actually, the Brooks Shoe Company was the largest vendor, and as soon as you pick up your race packet, you're kind of like funneled into the Brooks Shoe Company space, and you kind of have to like wander around in their space to find your way out into the other space.
Yeah, they kept making announcements that Carrie Goucher was going to be speaking at noon, and I'm like, how do we get out of, you know, how do we get over there? How do we get out of this maze?
Yeah, it wasn't really, that apparent how you get out of that, but after going in a circle, we finally found our way out. But Brooks has a real fun theme. You know, it's like a circus carnival type theme. But we didn't linger for that very long because we wanted to go hear Kara Goucher speak. Angie's a big fan of hers. She's read her book, Kara Goucher's Running for Women.
Mm-hmm. I have read it. Yeah, we got back there to where she was going to speak. And, you know, we were a few minutes early and it was still standing room only.
Right.
People had gotten there early and staked out the best spots. But it was well worth waiting for. She gave a really good talk and just seems really down to earth. And although she's a very competitive person, she's also very humble.
Yeah.
So I really, as Trevor said, really connected with what she was saying.
I think I saw you starting to tear up.
Well, I mean, running can make me so emotional easily.
Yeah, I looked over at Angie and I could kind of see her tearing up. I'm like, wow, she has such an emotional connection to Kara.
Yes, I do. I think I relate to her, you know, in certain ways, obviously not on the elite running level, but I think her as a person, as a mother,
right.
We're both the same age.
Mm-hmm. You guys are exactly the same age.
Exactly the same age. And actually our youngest son and her son are like a week apart.
Okay.
So she was kind of pregnant at the same time I was. And, you know, anyway, I aspire to be Kara Goucher.
But one thing that she said stuck out in my mind. After running a marathon, she respected herself so much more. And I think that's true of the marathon, that you will respect yourself a whole lot more after accomplishing it.
That's right. You just can't accidentally stumble across the marathon finishing line. It takes a lot of determination and physical strength, as well as strength mentally, and just your will has to be strong to be able to complete a marathon. So that's definitely true.
And Shalane Flanagan was also at this race, but Shalane didn't speak at the expo. But interestingly, as we were driving back to the hotel from the expo, you're like, oh, there's Shalane Flanagan. She's just walking down the road with some dude, probably like her bodyguard or something.
To protect her from stalkers like us.
But that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
So we got back to our hotel room, and then Shalane and Kara came up and hung out with us for a couple hours and our kids. And
in our dreams.
We shared running stories.
Yeah, there were actually several elite runners there for mostly the half marathon. Besides Kara and Shalane, there was Meseret Defar from Ethiopia. She actually won the women's half marathon with a record-setting time of 1 hour, 7 minutes, and 25 seconds.
Record-setting for this course.
Exactly. And Shalane was second with 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 31 seconds, which was a new PR for her, and was the third fastest half marathon time by a U.S. woman. And then Kara Goucher, who was coming off a heel injury, came in fifth.
Kara actually holds the American record for fastest half marathon, right?
Well, unofficially, because it was a course in Great Britain that wasn't an official record course,
okay.
You know, however they figure that. So yeah, her PR is 106 and some change. I'm not sure exactly. I believe Dina Castor holds the official half marathon record for a U.S. woman.
So what about the men's half marathon?
Yeah, there was UK Olympian Mo Farah there. He took the gold in the 5K and 10K at the Olympics, and he set a new course record in his second half marathon, coming in at 1 hour and 59 seconds. So
that was
pretty amazing. He currently trains in Portland, Oregon. And then second place was Gebremariam of Ethiopia with 1 hour and 1 minute. So he was just 1 second behind Mo Farah. That must have been a really exciting finish to watch.
So how come none of these elites ran the full marathon?
Well, many of them are preparing for races later in the spring. Like mm-hmm. Kara and Shalane are both training for the Boston Marathon. So that's their primary focus right now. So the marathon wasn't nearly as competitive as far as elite runners as the half marathon.
Okay.
In fact, New Orleans is kind of known to be a big half marathon race. I think of the approximately 15,000 runners, only about 3,000 ran the full marathon.
I see.
So the male winner of the marathon was Meyer Friedman of San Diego with a time of 2 hours, 28 minutes, and 43 seconds. And the first female finisher was Karen Lockyer of Louisiana with a time of 2 hours, 52 minutes, and 23 seconds. So it wasn't any world record times at all. But I always enjoy seeing the elites along the course. And this course is a lot of out and backs.
Yeah.
So I was able to see, you know, the front runners at least once and then sometimes twice if they were running the full marathon. And it's always exciting.
Yeah, it is. So let's talk about the course itself for a moment. The race started in the Central Business District. And it was like 2 blocks from our hotel, which was awesome.
They did the start in waves. You know, they released the wheelchair athletes, and then they released the women, and then the men, and then they had several corrals. Trevor, you were in corral 5, right?
Yes.
I was way back in the nosebleed section in corral 12.
I was thinking about getting in corral 12 with you.
Oh, that would have been a huge mistake. I was regretting being back there. I should have been up with you. It was just ridiculous. I had to weave around so many people. I didn't even hit a normal pace until like mile 6. It was just ridiculous. It was so congested in certain areas. And I know I probably rant about this every time, but it's like, if a person's going to walk in the first 3 miles of the race, stay in the back part of the corrals, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
But it was my own fault for getting in corral 12.
Well, why did you get in corral 12?
Well, because when I registered for the marathon, I, of course, was just coming off the miscarriage and should probably only have been registering for the half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave myself a very conservative finishing time of 4:30.
Okay.
Which placed me in corral 12. And then, of course, you know, I was able to train hard and bounce back pretty well and then think I was going to be closer to 4 hours.
Right.
And I didn't get it changed, and so it was my own fault.
So what was your official time?
My official finishing time was 4 hours, 1 minute, and 40 seconds.
And you had a negative split, right?
I did. The first half, like I said, I just had a really hard time hitting my pace. And then once the half marathoners veered off, it was like the course just opened up into glory. And yeah, I did do a negative split. I felt like the second half of the race was so much easier than the first. I don't know. For some reason, it just went really well for me. So
we ran down St. Charles Avenue, like 4 miles out, 4 miles back. And I enjoyed that part of the course because St. Charles is split in the middle. Trolley runs up and down it, and there's kind of like this grassy area. So I was able to run on that grassy area instead of running on the congested road, you know, with all those other people. And then on St. Charles is that out and back, so that's where we got to see the elite runners coming on the other side of the road. We went through the American sector and then crossed over Canal Street into the French Quarter, out to City Park where the half marathon split off, and then out to Lake Pontchartrain. Running along the lake was pretty nice. It was beautiful out there. It was out and back. I thought there was lots of course support.
And the weather was really nice, too. It was probably in the 50s when we started, a little bit breezy, but, you know, it wasn't bad at all. And I think it probably was in the 60s when we finished or so, maybe high 60s.
Yeah, good music, too, along the course. We ran through the American sector. There was this bagpipe ensemble. Those guys were awesome. I mean,
yeah, that was neat.
That just made me want to run faster. I just saluted those guys, you know, I mean, makes you think of, you know, the movie Braveheart and going out to battle. I should put bagpipe music on my playlist and just listen to that the next time on my whole race.
You should wear a kilt during your next marathon.
Yeah, like it's not already been done before.
Yeah, actually, the people that started right in front of me, they were both wearing kilts, this man and woman.
Yeah, there's kilts and tutus, and I saw there was a running Elvis. And
there's a guy that I saw last year out there. He had like a foot-high mohawk.
Right.
Really tall guy, so he really stands out of the crowd. It was pretty interesting.
And all kinds of people dressed up in Mardi Gras costumes, of course. As I was approaching the finishing line, in the final chute, 200 feet before the finishing line, there's this woman who's keeled over, vomiting.
Wow. That's memorable.
They had a man lift out there with photographers, you know, taking your picture down from an aerial view. And that's your finishing line picture. And I thought, well, I'll run close to this woman and then like a puking woman will be in my picture, my finishing line photo. Actually, it didn't work out that way, but I felt sorry for her. I'm like, man, she was so close, but so far away, you know.
So if you have to puke, wait till you cross the finishing line. Is that the moral of the story?
No, there is no moral. It's okay. Just, I just felt bad for
just
that lady.
Just one of those memorable things you see. It was kind of cool on the out and back when we were running, you know, out to Lake Pontchartrain, and we got to see each other.
Yes.
At one point. And I mean, I had been looking for you pretty much the whole time because I knew that you were probably about 3 miles ahead of me.
Right.
And so I was just like nervously scanning the crowd, like, he's got to be coming sometime. And then I saw you and we kind of high-fived each other. And it was funny, after I saw you, it was like, I didn't realize I was so nervous for you. I mean, I'd been praying for you all along, uh-huh, that you would stay strong and, you know, break 4 hours and stuff. But after that, it was like, ah, a weight is off my shoulders, you know, unless something horrible happens, he's going to make it under 4 hours. So I guess, wow, you know, sometimes the coach feels really nervous for their...
Thank you for feeling so nervous for me.
I was, and I didn't even really realize it till after you went by, and I was like, ah, free! So what was your official finishing time?
My official finishing time was 3 hours, 54 minutes, and 15 seconds.
Wow, so you broke 4 hours with time to spare.
That was after stopping to use a porta potty once and stopping to tie my shoe once.
Wow.
And fidget with my iPod once.
My.
But yeah, now I know what it feels like to run a sub 4 hour marathon. The last 3 miles were really tough. All total, I took 8 Perpetuum Solids, 4 Hammer Gels, and about 24 Hammer Endurolites.
And you kept from cramping and felt like you had solid energy?
I did, yeah.
Awesome.
I had energy and I didn't cramp.
And you drank water from the fluid stations?
Yeah, I stopped and refilled every station. I carried my handheld water bottle, and I refilled it at the fluid stations. Yeah, I had good energy most of the way until, like, the last 3 miles. I ran out of Endurolites. I had some pretzels that I was munching on, but still, it was tough. You know, I really wanted to quit and walk, but it was just my mind telling me to stop. I had it in the tank, you know. I had some good training for this race. I was doing your 4-hour marathon training plan. Had a lot of hill training that I did. And I just think I had it in the bank, so I was able to do it.
Yeah, it was really exciting to see that. I mean, I knew you could do it, but I was hoping that you knew you could do it. Because you have to have, you know, that confidence to go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to talk yourself out of something if you don't have the confidence to pursue that goal. So it was really exciting to hear your official time.
I don't think I'll ever do it again, but yeah, it was exciting.
course you will. The bar has been set now. And every time you run a marathon, that there's going to be that bar there reminding you what you really can do and asking yourself what more you could accomplish. Just telling you, that's how it is.
I was thinking about that bar, that metaphorical bar that you were saying. I had it in my mind, it was the edge, and I thought, I just got to push myself to the edge of my endurance. I started telling myself that after mile 20. I think it helped.
That's good.
But I got to tell you, I am sore today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good. It means you pushed hard. That must mean I didn't push hard enough because I'm not sore. Oh, well, that wasn't the purpose of my marathon.
So are you disappointed that you didn't finish in under 4 hours?
Yeah, I guess I kind of am. Since I came so close, it was like, oh, man, if I had not started way back in the corrals and stopped and used the bathroom where there was a line, I probably would have done it. But my purpose of going into the race was just to see where I was at fitness-wise, to kind of gauge my goals for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I look back and think that I couldn't even run a mile 2 months ago, I just feel incredibly blessed to, you know, even finish around the four-hour mark and even be able to do a marathon. So,
yeah, that is awesome.
It's just a huge blessing to be able to run marathons at all. No matter my finishing time, I'm always just thankful to cross another finishing line.
You're going to qualify for Boston this year. I just know it.
Well, I have high hopes, but there's lots of factors that go into it.
So why'd you wait in a porta potty line? That's just a rookie mistake.
It was either that or pee on the run. No, it was. I mean, I knew better. I shouldn't have drank so much water leading up to the race. And if you have to go to the bathroom a lot, it's best to stop drinking an hour before the race. And then no matter if you feel like it or not, use the porta potty before the race. You know, get there early and stand in one of those lines and go. And I didn't do that because I didn't really feel like I had to go.
Uh-huh.
And then by mile 6, I was ready to pee my pants. And since I'm not an elite athlete, I don't have the I don't feel like I have the privilege of just going on the run, so I stopped.
Yeah, I remember when we talked to Camille Heron, she said, "I would never think about stopping to use the bathroom." It wouldn't even enter her mind. She would just go on the run.
Yeah, and I think that's how most elite athletes and triathletes are. They don't let anything slow them down, literally. So if I'm gonna do a Boston try, then I might have to take that approach.
While I was running and, you know, popping all these fuel products that I had in my pockets, thankfully I had race-ready shorts that have like 6 pockets.
But yeah, they're awesome.
I got the impression that I was the only one taking that much fuel. I think like most people out there, they maybe had 1 or 2 gels. That's it.
Well, most people were probably drinking the whatever
Gatorade
they had at the aid stations as well. And then they did have a couple of gel stops.
Yeah, not until mile 20 or something. I didn't see
No, they had one earlier on.
Okay.
They had 2 of them I saw. But I think it's always really important to remember that don't leave your fueling to the mercy of the race.
Right.
You know, you really need to have a plan going into it, something that you've practiced during your long runs, during your training, so that it's just not kind of a random, you know, oh, I'll take whatever is available and hope it works out for me type of thing.
You'd want to be 150 feet from the finishing line, keeled over, throwing up your Cytomax.
Right, or hobbled by a killer cramp, you know, a mile from the finishing line.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is people were starting to walk a mile from the finishing line.
I know, I don't know how people do that. I'm like, come on, people. I mean, that was the last 3 miles. I felt so good. I just started pouring on the speed, have that finishing kick, and I'm like, why are these people walking? Huh. Either there was poor pacing or poor fueling or something in the equation.
Well, I certainly felt like walking, and I didn't feel, you know, strong at all in the last 3 miles, but I was able to keep running. Maybe the people who were walking, they just had pushed as hard as they could push up to that point, and they just didn't have the strength left to run that last mile.
I think it's more mental endurance, too,
mm-hmm.
because our body obviously could run the last mile, but it's like in their mind, it's just like, oh, a whole nother mile, you know? And it is hard, you know, when you're exhausted, you don't feel like you're hardly even lifting your feet off the ground.
I started thinking about that guy that you told a story about at the wine glass marathon who you started arguing with. He's like, I can't do it. Yes, you can.
Yeah. I mean, he had himself talked out of, you know, almost finishing. And he had done, the funny thing was, he had done a number of marathons, and he was just giving up mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I had this mini argument with him, like back and forth two or three times. You can do it. Keep running. No, I can't. I was like, okay, well, I can. So I'll be leaving now. Goodbye.
Well, that's when it starts to count, though. You know, I think you got to get to 20 miles until the endurance really starts. You know, that you start really pushing the edge. I mean, I think it takes that long. You know, it takes almost 3 hours just before the real fun starts.
That's right. That's where you find out what you're made of after mile 20.
Wow. All right, now we're going to move on to a different topic. We want to talk a little bit about the competitor group, which is the parent company of the Rock and Roll Marathon Series. If you're going to be doing this marathon thing very long, the chances are that you'll run a rock and roll marathon. And I think they're starting new ones all the time and expanding into other countries in the world. So what is the deal with this company, Angie? Who are they?
Well, the Competitor Group Incorporated, or also known as CGI, is a privately held sports marketing and management company that was started back in 2007, and it's based in San Diego, California. It's actually owned by a private equity firm, Calera Capital, so I don't really know much about them, but obviously they're making some good money from this. And the Competitor Group is dedicated to promoting the sports of running, cycling, and triathlon. They run the Rock and Roll Marathon Series, Competitor Magazine, Competitor.com, the Carlsbad 5000, which is a race, Women's Running Magazine and website, and the Muddy Buddy Series.
Okay, I've heard of all that except Carlsbad 5000. What is that?
It's a very popular 5K.
Oh, okay.
That a lot of elite runners do, and it's out in California, obviously. So, yeah, look it up.
Sorry?
They have Velo Publishing and Velo News, Singletrack.com, Inside Triathlete. There's a She Rocks Triathlete Series and the Tri Rocks Series. So I think all in all, they operate and own about 83 races all over the world. And like you said, you know, at some point you might end up doing a race that's put on by them. They start new races and sometimes they take over struggling hometown races. You know, they do have a very well-organized machine, basically, that knows how to put on races and marathons. And, you know, you may not get that hometown personal touch that a lot of the smaller races do, and which I'm fairly partial to, but, you know, they know how to put on events.
I think you're right. They're, you know, really well organized, and they know how to make it fun. They know how to create an atmosphere.
Yeah, and you know, also know what to expect when you go to one of the races. You can kind of expect the same format for the expo. Picking up your bib and your shirt is going to be very straightforward. They're going to do big expos. They have the wave starts, which keeps everything organized. And yeah, they try to make the course fun with bands along it and, you know, regular aid stations. So, you know, I would say all in all, they put on good races.
So the Nashville Country Music Marathon, which is the very first marathon you ever ran, was probably a local race at that time. Now it's actually the Nashville Rock and Roll Marathon, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it was the Country Music Marathon when I ran it. And now it's the, I don't know what it's exactly, what its title is, but it has changed hands since then.
And I actually think that this marathon here in New Orleans,
it used to be called the New Orleans Marathon.
Yeah. So it was another one that was taken over, bought out by the competitor group.
Right. Now the one we did up in St. Louis in the fall, it was a new one that they started.
Right.
So the St. Louis still has their Go St. Louis, their local race, in the spring, and then they have the Rock and Roll Marathon in the fall. And it was also interesting to note that the competitor group also owns Race It, which is an online race registration website, and also GearBuzz, which is a product review site, and it also does flash sales. And I think we've used that as a quick tip in the past. You know, you'll get an email about what they have to offer that week, and they do some pretty good promotions that I've been sucked into before.
The only thing they don't have is a premier marathon training site.
Wow.
Wonder where people could find one.
I'm sure they would like to buy us out for a very little amount of money and then change it all.
I hope they never decide to compete with us. Because they will crush us.
Yes.
No, but we like the Rock and Roll Series. I don't know. We've ran a handful of them now, haven't we?
I guess so.
And we will run some more because we love to rock. with the Rock and Roll Marathon.
One thing they also do is that if you register for multiple races with them, they'll offer discounts and also like special medals. You know, if you run five of their races, you get, you know, an extra special medal. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, ways that they try to keep people hooked.
So exactly what cities are Rock and Roll Marathons going to be held in?
Well, there's lots of different ones, and some they just will do half marathons in, but they have Chicago, which is a half marathon, I believe. There's Cleveland, Dallas, Denver. Las Vegas is a popular one in December.
That one's at night, correct?
Yes, it is.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, obviously New Orleans. They have Portland, San Antonio, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis, Virginia Beach, and then they also do ones abroad.
Another interesting factoid here is that this marathon brought $34 million to the local economy there in New Orleans. And I know we didn't spend that much, so some other runners are really emptying out their wallets when they're down there.
I know.
But that's good, though.
It is, definitely. It's good for the economy. And if you want to fill your year up with races, you can get the Tour Pass Unlimited, and you can run any of the races in the North American Tour. So there's 26 total races. And so, you know, if you really like the Rock and Roll Marathons, you could do them all if you wanted for just $399, plus travel, plus hotel, plus food.
Mm-hmm. Plus running shoes if you run it with shoes on.
That's right. But obviously they want to get people excited and keep people excited.
Once you sign up for a race with these guys, they email you like every day.
Pretty much.
To kind of amp you up, keep you excited about it. And I like that communication because we've signed up for some smaller races that we've never heard from the people, you know. And even one time I had to email the race director and like, hey, I never got a confirmation. Am I on your list? I just want to make sure you've got a race bib for me. And the guy's like, yeah, I got you down. So it is kind of nice to get some communication back and forth with the race, I think. Don't you think so?
Definitely.
So that's a quick look at the competitor group. What did you think about the finishing area and the post-race food at this marathon?
I thought it was better than Rock and Roll St. Louis. And if you run a lot of races, you'll start getting very finicky about your finishing line food and details and stuff. But I liked how it was laid out pretty well. And I liked the fact that I got chocolate milk and pretzels, mm-hmm. two of my favorite post-race foods, and a banana. So the food was better this time around, I thought. So that was always nice. See, I'm not a big fan of dry bagels. I'll just put that out there.
So now we've been to New Orleans twice. Would you like to go a third time?
Wow. I really like the city of New Orleans. I guess I could be talked into it. The problem is there's like so many races and so little time, you know. This is the first marathon that I've repeated.
That's so true.
There must be something about the city.
I think we repeated it because...
Because of you.
Right. I didn't get to run it that first time. So I'm like, well, I got to finish what I started.
Yeah, and it was a good experience. You know, most races I don't feel like I need to repeat, although I would repeat the Wine Glass Marathon in Corning, New York.
Why is that?
It's just awesome.
Wow.
And they just take really good care of the runners. The swag is great. The course is beautiful and flat. It's a fast course. My sisters live near there. Great food, post-race food. Need I say more?
Plus, you have good memories there because you set a PR.
Exactly. There's just a warm glow surrounding the whole race.
Well, that's our race recap. And now it is time for this episode's quick tip. Angie's going to talk about how to decrease post-marathon soreness. This topic was actually my idea because I just ran a marathon and I'm dealing with soreness. So,
yes, this is something that a lot of people deal with. In fact, people may have seen that YouTube video put out by the New York City Marathon. It's called The Day After the Marathon. And you see people like awkwardly trying to climb stairs and get in and out of cabs and
walking bow-legged or whatever.
Put their pants on. And, you know, it's funny because if you've ever run a marathon, you've probably experienced this at some point in time. I know after I finished my first two marathons, I was just sore mm-hmm. afterwards. And it's kind of funny now because I really don't get sore after a marathon. I hate to brag, but...
Well, you need to run faster.
I know. Obviously, I need to. I thought, wow, I could have done a lot more. But as a rule, I don't really deal with as much soreness just because I think that I stay in decent enough shape and I know the secrets of recovery.
Well, you could share your secrets with us in a second, but I will say I'm a little sore. I'm not as sore as compared to like doing a lower body workout on P90X.
Oh, yeah, that's a killer.
That I just can't even get in and out of the car without wincing in pain.
That puts things into perspective if you've done that workout for the first time or after taking a break from it.
But, you know, the day after this race, I definitely could feel that I ran a marathon and I had some soreness going on. So share your secrets with us.
All right, the first thing you need to do within 30 minutes of crossing the finishing line is to refuel. So you want to be drinking like a recovery drink. You can do something like chocolate milk or Recoverite or whatever your favorite recovery drink is. But that's going to get the glycogen to your muscles quickly and help provide some protein so that your muscles can basically start rebuilding and refueling. And that is going to make a big difference in your recovery. After long runs, after hard workouts, after a marathon, you need to refuel. The second thing I would say is to take an ice bath. Even 5 to 10 minutes in a cool tub or shower can help decrease inflammation. It's really miserable, but it does work.
Now, you don't ever take ice baths, do you?
I have to confess that I don't.
I don't take ice baths. I never put ice in the bathtub, but I do put cold water in there, and it is miserable. I hate cold water, but I think it helps. I've definitely noticed, you know, a reduction in soreness after I force myself to get in a cold bath.
That's right. Whatever you do, don't sit like in a hot tub for the first few hours to up to 12 hours after a marathon, because that can actually increase your soreness. So take an ice bath just for a little while, as long as you can stand it, and then take your normal shower. The third thing is to wear compression socks. Compression socks have been proven to help decrease soreness and speed recovery time. Now, I personally like to wear them during marathons, but if you don't like doing that, definitely slip on a pair after the race, and you'll find that your recovery time decreases. And you can do the same thing with the calf sleeves, the compression calf sleeves. You know, if you have your favorite brand of socks and you don't really want to sacrifice that, just get some of the calf sleeves and wear those. And you certainly won't be alone. There'll be a lot of people out there wearing their socks. The fourth recovery tip is to keep moving. The more you move around after your marathon, the easier your recovery will be. Now, I know it's tempting to want to cross the finishing line and collapse on the ground, but that is the last thing you should do. You should actually keep moving, stay on your feet, walk around for at least 15 minutes. If you need to sit down for a little while after that, fine, but make sure that you're up and moving at least every hour for the first 8 hours after your marathon. And try to even slip in another 15-minute walk later in the evening. The more moving around you do, the faster you'll recover.
I suggest walking around the French Quarter with three kids looking for a restaurant.
Yes, from personal experience. It felt like more like 30 minutes, actually. I was getting a little bit crabby by the time we found our restaurant.
Well, there's no parking in the French Quarter. It's so hard to find parking, so you got to park kind of on the perimeter of it.
Which was fine. I was on board with that. But then we had to like check out four different restaurants before we went back to the original one we were thinking about.
I had to be sure. I didn't want to repeat. We ate at the same one we did last year, and I don't know, I was looking for something new, even though the restaurant was perfectly good, and we ended up going there anyway.
But at this point, it's like 5 hours after I finished the marathon. You know, I've had my recovery drink and a few snacks, but I'm like ravenous.
Yeah, we didn't really have breakfast or lunch that day.
Ready to rip Trevor's head off. But it was well worth the wait. So keep moving and you will recover more quickly. The fifth thing is to stretch. Be sure to stretch your major muscle groups or use a tool like the stick or a foam roller the first evening after your race. It's going to help loosen up your muscles and speed the lactic acid out of your system. Now, you're probably pretty tender, so just go easy with it, but it really will help keep your muscles loose, and the next day you'll be able to get out of bed a lot easier.
There was actually a foam rolling station close to the finish line where people were rolling out their muscles and whatnot, and you and I just kind of walked by that and snickered at them. Like, hey, if the marathon wasn't painful enough, you can do this.
You can foam roll. Yes. Now, if you're going to schedule a massage trip after the marathon, it's actually recommended that you wait a couple of days for the most benefits. You know, a lot of times marathons will have post-race massage station set up, which is fine, but you don't want to do any deep tissue massage right after the marathon. Let your body have a couple days to recover, and then, you know, 2 or 3 days out from the marathon, it'll be the best time to get a massage. Finally, my last tip is to rest. Try to lay down for a nap in the afternoon, even if it's just for an hour. Put your feet up and get a little rest. Maybe your mind won't exactly turn off. You know, you'll still be kind of on the post-race high, but just letting your body have a chance to decompress and rest will really help. And then try to get a little extra sleep for the next few nights, and you'll recover more quickly, and it'll help your immune system, which can be depressed after a marathon.
So a person is actually susceptible to being sick after a marathon because your immune system is down, right?
Exactly. So make sure that you keep drinking lots of fluids, wash your hands, don't be doing any huge sugar consumption because you have a higher chance of getting sick after a marathon.
Well, thank you, Angie, for those tips about how to decrease post-marathon soreness. If you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us at marathontrainingacademy.com. When you're on our website, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. Thank you for listening to this race recap. We want you to know you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Run on my way, run on my way.